Welcome to church, everyone. It's so good to see all of you. I want to take a moment and welcome all of our locations, our online and television audience. Today, my son is going to preach the word to us, and I'm excited about it. I told the kids, I said, you know, you guys are young and I'm getting older. That means you have to do more and I have to do less. Is that all right, everybody? I don't really mean that. I mean, but I do, but I don't. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, but our church is in such wonderful hands with our next generation coming up behind us. And I'm so proud of all of them and everything that they're doing. You know, in our school, we had revival meetings on Friday for all of our kids. When's the last time you heard of a school having revival meetings? We do at Faith Prep because we're interested in a Christ-based education where our kids leave not just educated, but loving the Lord. Our youth group is on fire for God. We had 25 kids from our youth group go on a trip to Bible college because they're interested in becoming ministers of the gospel. Isn't that amazing? And so we are excited about what's happening. I know Pastor Kayshawn did an amazing job last week, ministering the word. I hope you were here. If you didn't see it, go and watch it. And good things are happening. And so one of the reasons is because of my son and what he's doing with the next generation and the gift of God that's on his life. And so would you receive him as he comes to minister the word?
Amen. Amen. It's so good to be with you guys today. I'm so honored to be able to preach the word to you guys this morning. It's going to be a good morning. Amen. Amen. Of course, as always, I know he's here, but I still want to just make sure I give honor to Pastor Frank and Pastor Lisa. Yes, they're my parents, but they are also my pastors. So would you guys give it up for them? Great people of God. Amen. I heard a pastor named David Winston. He works for his father, Bill Winston. He told me, he said, you know, Joey, he said, you may have not chosen them as your parents, but you did choose them as your pastors. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you guys go ahead and get your Bible on out? Go ahead and raise on up. If you need a Bible, the ushers are in the aisles. They'll get one into your hands. Let's go ahead and say this at the same time. Ready? Go. This is my Bible. It is my primary source of spiritual nourishment. I will read it every day and become all God wants me to be. My mind will be renewed. My life will be transformed. I will become fully surrendered to Christ. Therefore, I will hide his word in my heart so I can be all God's destined me to be. Amen. Would you guys remain standing? We're going to read from John chapter 19 today. John chapter 19. As you guys are turning there, I want you guys to know that we're going after the harvest in Impact Youth right now. Right now is a soul-winning time of year. I know at Faith Church around Easter time as well, we make a push for the lost. And right now we are making a strong push to win people to Jesus Christ at Impact Youth. How are we doing that? We're doing a spring kickoff event that we call that is a soul-winning event where it's not a church event. It's not a, you know, where someone comes and hears a sermon. It is a soul-winning event. We are going to preach the gospel. We're going to have a ton of activities. We're going to have a 3v3 basketball tournament, inflatables, prizes. And can I just tell you something? These kids are hungry to win their generation. They are hungry to win their generation. I know of high schools right now. Brookfield High School is buzzing about this event. New Fairfield High School, New Milford High School. These kids are in their high schools. They are not content to sit back and watch their generation die and go to hell. And so we're going to see a lot of people saved at this church and in this youth group this year in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope you guys have it by now. John chapter 19, if you put it up on the screen for me, please. Amen. I think I can read it in the back, actually. Yes. I've always had good eyesight. Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they mocked as they slapped him across the face. Today I want to talk to you guys about the most famous Easter peep. But I don't want to just talk about him. I want to talk about something specific, who he is. I want to talk to you this morning about Christ the healer. Christ the healer. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. I pray, Father, that this morning, that as we hear your word, that we would believe you, Lord, for healing in our bodies, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You can go and have a seat. Thank you so much for standing with me. My first encounter with Christ the healer was when I was 13 years old. You guys have probably heard me or my father talk about this, but when I was 13 years old, I was playing baseball and I was pitching. And I was pitching and my arm just kept on hurting and I couldn't throw a strike for the life of me. I would fire the ball and I'd throw it all over the place and my arm would hurt so bad. And I remember my coach pulling me out of one of my games and he was like, you know, yelling at me, screaming at me because I couldn't throw a strike. And he was like, I'll let you pitch the championship game if we make it there, give you another shot. You need to start throwing strikes. And I remember I looked at him, I was like, coach, I was like, I can't throw anymore. My arm is like dead. And he's like, you're just scared. You're making excuses, all that stuff. He chewed me up and down. And I went to the doctor the very next day and got an MRI. And I had a torn labrum in my arm. And I was going to be out for 9 months. And I remember being at the doctor's office and receiving the report that I had a labrum tear in my arm. And the doctor said, you know, sometimes labrum tears heal on their own, but this one will not heal on its own. You need to just go and get surgery right now. And I remember, and I'm thankful for my parents with this. I remember my parents giving me the option. They said to me, you can get the surgery if you would like to. Or if you want to believe God that you're going to be completely healed of this, then you can do that as well. And so I chose to believe the second one because, to be honest with you, I was a kid. When you're a kid, it's like that childlike faith. If someone says God can heal you, you just believe it. But then as we get older, as adults, we get all carnal in our mind and we, you know, have all these, well, I don't know if God's really a healer and all that stuff. Sometimes it doesn't happen, all this stuff. But I was a kid. I was 13 years old. And so I said, all right, I'm going to believe God. So my father, he wrote some scriptures down and he put them right on my wall next to my bed. And every single night before I went to bed, I would declare these scriptures over my life that by his stripes I'm healed, that he took my sickness and bore my disease. And I began to just confess that day after day. And one night in my bedroom, I met with Christ the healer. I physically felt him meet me in the room. I began to declare the scriptures and all of a sudden one night, there was a tingling sensation that came into my shoulder. And a warmth that came over my arm. And I didn't even quite understand what happened. But I told my parents what had happened. And I had believed in my body that I was healed. And so I went back to the doctor. And the doctor looked at the MRI and he goes, oh. He goes, wow. He looks like you got lucky. And my mom looked and said, well, we prayed and we believed God. And so God did a miracle in my arm and I was able to return in only a matter of 6 weeks instead of 9 months. It was a healing that took place. Why am I telling this? Because I met with Christ the healer. I know that he is real. I know that he does what the word says that he does. And can I be honest with you? There are many full gospel. Yeah, you can go to give Jesus some praise for that. That's a miracle. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you something. There are many full gospel denominations that started believing Christ the healer. That if you went to their church today, Christ the healer would no longer be welcome. In fact, I would go on a limb and say that over half the churches of America, and I think that's conservative, would not welcome Christ the healer today. If Jesus Christ even came into the church and began to preach as I am right now, and started saying that he was willing to heal. Everyone, oh, I don't know about that. I'm not really sure about that, Jesus. Because, you know, this happened and that happened and this situation and that situation. So I'm not really sure about all that, Jesus. Christ the healer would not even be welcome in most American churches. And people say, well, it's an American idea that God, you know, just like, you know, is a healer and stuff. That's the American gospel. Can I tell you something? If you went to Africa and preached any other gospel than the fact that Christ heals, they'd look at you like you're dumb. They'd be like, I'm sorry, who is this Jesus? I've never even heard of this before. So it's actually an American idea to not believe in Christ the healer. And so this morning, what I prepared to do And what I plan to do is teach about Christ the healer, the Christ of the Bible that still heals, the Christ of the Bible that is willing to heal your body this morning. You may be thinking to yourself, Pastor Joey, I've been sick in my body for years. I've been sick in my body for decades. I've been sick in my body for this long, that long. Well, I'm here to tell you that that stops this morning because you will meet with Christ the healer this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, three things to understand about Christ the healer. Three things to understand about Christ the healer. The first thing to understand is understand the payment. Understand the payment. I read you the text in John chapter 19 where it says that Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. And then the soldiers put the crown of thorns into him and they mocked him and they beat him. And many times I think that we don't realize the gravity of what really took place. We're like, oh, you know, we got, you know, whipped a couple times. Obviously, that's very painful and stuff. But I want to be graphic with you for a second, if I may. Just historically speaking. This was a whip that you guys have probably heard of if you've been to church for a while. If you haven't, then maybe not. Called a cat of nine tails. And what this whip was, is it was a leather whip that they attached pieces of bone and sharp objects to the end of. And they would take the whip. It would usually be two soldiers standing on either side of the person that was being whipped. And they would whip them back and forth, back and forth. And what would happen is it would start with the epidermis, right? It would start with the skin, just the outside skin. And they'd whip that. And you would think when you're talking about whipping that they would stop with that. That, okay, they're going to rip your skin. Very painful, very terrible. But they didn't stop there. It was the epidermis, the skin, and then they proceeded to even whip beyond the dermis, the underneath layer of the skin. And they continually whipped and whipped. It is not beyond the realm of possibility. In fact, I believe that this is likely what happened, that Jesus had parts of bone showing after he was done being whipped. Perhaps his rib cage exposed. Perhaps parts of his vertebrae and his back were shown. This is the point to which Christ the healer was beaten. He was beaten mercilessly. And many people will say, you know, he was beaten 39 times. That's actually not true. That was Jewish law that he was beat 39 times. Roman law did not have such a thing. Jewish law was, I guess, if you want to say, merciful at 39. But Roman law, they whipped until they felt as though that they were done. So there was no limitation on how much that they could have whipped him. It could have been well beyond 39 times. The Bible says he was beaten beyond the point of recognition of a man. That is a severe beating. That is severe. That is, I can't even begin to fathom the amount of pain that Christ was taking. Now, this is something that I really have been thinking about. Is imagine experiencing that type of pain. And at any moment, you could have stopped experiencing that type of pain. At any moment, you could have just said the word and it would have been done. But Christ was in that very situation where he was being whipped and beaten and marred, that the underneath layer of his skin was being beaten so badly, but at any moment, he could have called on a legion of angels to save him. He could have stopped it at any moment. But he did not. Why did he not do this? What was the purpose of this? I will get to that in a second. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Perhaps one of the most famous verses about the story of Christ in the Bible. I'm not sure if they have it up in the back, but I could tell it to you because you've probably heard it. The Bible says, by his stripes, we are healed. Now, I've heard many people object that don't want to believe in Christ the healer for some reason. They say, well, this was a spiritual healing, Pastor Joey. This was a spiritual healing, and this is not talking about our physical body. And so when it says by his stripes we are healed, we're talking about, you know, our spiritual self. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Oh, there's that one. Praise God. Matthew chapter 8. We can move on to the next one now. It says, that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command. And he healed, what does that word say? What does it say? Does it say some? Does it say a couple people? It says all. All. Jesus healed all the sick that were brought to him. And then it says, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. So this idea that it was only a spiritual healing is in complete contradiction to the scriptures. It was spiritual, for 1 Peter tells us that it was a spiritual healing as well. However, this was also a physical healing. It says, this fulfilled. This fulfilled. Now, many people have asked me this question. If the stripes of Jesus Christ healed us, then how come before he took the stripes on his back, Matthew says, this fulfilled? Because you might be wondering, okay, well, it didn't happen yet. How did this fulfill? Matthew is speaking and anticipatory. He's speaking of what was going to come, the ongoing fulfillment that Christ would do throughout his life. In the same way that Christ said, your sins are forgiven to people throughout the Gospels, although the sins of man had not yet been atoned for or paid for yet. In the same way, Matthew is speaking anticipatory. And so Matthew says, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. He took our sickness and he bore our illnesses. Why did Jesus do this? Why did Jesus endure all of this? Why did Jesus take this pain? Why did Jesus, not just call on the angels? Why was Jesus whipped? Why was he beaten? Why all of these things? The reason why Jesus endured all these things, yes, for the forgiveness of our sins, but we must not forget it was also for our healing in our body. Our physical healing in our body. Jesus paid that punishment by taking the stripes. He was beaten so our physical body could be made whole. The physical pain he took upon himself was for the physical pain of humanity. Any sickness in your life that you could be dealing with this morning, any disease that a doctor has diagnosed you with, any pain that's in your body has been borne by this precious blood, by the stripes of Jesus Christ that he took upon himself. And can I tell you something? Anyone that says anything differently is spitting in the face of Jesus, who paid a high price for your healing. That's the reality of the Bible. Jesus paid too high of a price for you to stay sick in your body. And it's unfortunate for me to hear anyone that would say anything else. Jesus Christ is a healer. Jesus Christ is the same Jesus that walked this earth. And he wants to heal your body this morning. You know what I feel to do this? Would everybody raise their hands in here right now? I want you to confess this out of your mouth. Say, by his stripes, I am healed. Amen. Amen. By his stripes you are healed. God's stirring something this morning in Jesus' name. You know, it's funny. It's kind of like this. If I were to go to a restaurant, say, I don't know, maybe I go out with Mr. Rizzo. He's a good guy. I like Mr. Rizzo. I always use him in my sermons because he's great. I go out to a restaurant, Mr. Rizzo, and Mr. Rizzo goes and, I don't know, maybe he's taking me out for dinner. He picks up the check or whatever. The way, I'm not sure. No. But they bring the receipt over to him. They're like, all right, it's been paid. It's all good. And I begin to contest. No. He didn't pay for it. No. It's not really paid for. As I start questioning the waiter, are you really sure if that's really what was done here? I'm not really sure if, the credit card went through, all that stuff. I start making all these arguments about how the meal has not really been paid for. In the same way, it is when we say something else about our healing, where we question, did Jesus really pay for this thing? Was it really done? It is the same thing, because it is already done. It has already been paid for. It has already been atoned for. Jesus already did the work. We have to understand healing as a past tense reality. What do I mean by that? It has already been done. Already been done. Past tense. Past tense. So many people will say, you know, I'm just, you know, praying for healing. You know, I hope that God heals me. He already healed you. It's already done. The work is finished. We just need to receive the work that has already been done by the stripes that Jesus took on his back. Understand the payment. The second thing, we have to understand the payment. Next thing, we have to understand God's will. We have to understand God's will. The first thing we need to get about God's will as it pertains to divine healing is we need to understand that healing is the very nature of God. Many people think that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are two completely different people. Like as if God in the New Testament all of a sudden became a healer and kind and all that stuff. That's not how the Bible works. God is the same God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. God's character is the same. He stays the same through every generation and through every age. Look at what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that heals you." What does Christ refer to, or what does God refer to himself as? The God that heals. It is in the very DNA and character of God to be a healer. God healing is just a part of who he is. It comes with the package. It's part of his name. That's who he is. So we have to understand that healing is a part of the very character of God. Next thing that we have to understand is that if we ever want to know what the will of God is, we have to go back to before sin entered the world. If you ever wonder what is the will of God for humanity, the best place to look is before the fall of man took place. Because that's the way God created the universe. Sin is what has brought all this bad stuff into the earth. Sin is the reason why people die young. Sin is the reason why people get cancer. Sin is the reason why people have sickness in their body. So before the fall of man, the question lies, was there sickness? No, there was not. There was no sickness until after the fall in Genesis chapter 3. So God didn't even create the world with sickness. So we see those two things. We see the character of God and we see the will of God before creation. Now the question therein lies, people have questioned, is it the will of God to heal? Is it always God's desire to heal humanity? Let's go to Matthew chapter 8 to find out the answer to that. It says this, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." So just keep that up there for a second. Many people read this story and go, you see, guys, the leper said, "If you are willing." When we go before God, we must first ask if he is willing to do the work. Amen. And you know, everybody gets, yeah, amen, amen. And you know, yeah, you know, if you are willing, Lord, people, I've heard people lay hands on people. Lord, if you're willing, you can heal them and you can make them whole. And we make this whole theology out of this phrase that somebody that didn't even know God, didn't even have a covenant with God, didn't understand God, says. How many of you guys know that if Jesus would have responded and said, "Yes, thank you so much for asking me if I was willing. I really appreciate that. That was super kind and considerate of you to consider my will. Thank you for doing that. Let's make sure we do that every time." And then he prayed for them. Then we could all go, okay, yes, we need to ask if it's God's will first. But let's see what Jesus said. Jesus reached out and touched him. I need to comment on that real quick. Jesus reached out and touched him. Leprosy was one of the most contagious diseases at the time. leprosy was one of the worst sicknesses that somebody could have, because not only were they surely going to die and have a very painful death at that, because their limbs would eventually fall off, and their, you know, their hands, their feet, all that stuff, their face would be all itchy and gross, but they were ostracized from the entire community. They weren't even allowed to finish out their days around anyone because it was so contagious. And so what Jesus said to the leper is, I'm sorry, your sickness is very contagious. I cannot lay hands on you because it is very, you know, contagious. So I'm not going to lay hands on you. You know, maybe I'm going to go grab a mask and put it on first and some gloves, and then I can pray for you. Oh, it doesn't say that. It says Jesus reached out and touched him. And he said this, be healed. And instantly it disappeared. I know that might rub some people the wrong way, but that's what Jesus did, and that's how he operated. It's funny. We get upset at the Jesus of the Bible when we really hear about him. Many people in church claim to be Christians, but when they hear about the Jesus of the Bible and the way that he operated, they get very upset, because there is a spirit of religion that is in the hearts of people and needs to be driven out. Amen. Jesus said, be healed. And instantly they were healed. He said, I am willing. Be healed. I am willing. Jesus' answer to that leper is the answer that for you and I. The same thing Jesus said to that leper is the same answer that you and I can expect. Why? Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that said, I am willing to the leper, is the same Jesus that is here in this room this morning, walking up and down the aisle saying, I am willing, be healed. Be healed. It's that simple. It's that simple. Jesus wants to heal. His desire and will is to heal. And can I just say this? God's timing has nothing to do with it. Pastor Joey, I like what you're saying, but sometimes just God's timing. You know, we just have to see. Sometimes God's timing is 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20. Sometimes it's not on this side of eternity. There's no chapter and verse for that in the Bible. I whenever people say that type of stuff, I always think in my head, chapter and verse. A lot of stuff sounds very good and religious to say, well, God's timing, you know, God this and God that. But if you don't have a scripture to support it, then what makes us think that that's really what God's desire and will is? You know what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 19? He said, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He didn't say it's coming. It will be there eventually. He said, the time of the Lord's favor is now. What is this time of the Lord's favor, Pastor Joey? I don't really understand what you're talking about. This time of the Lord's favor was in reference to an Old Testament principle, or an Old Testament time, called the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee happened every 50 years. And to make it very, very simple for you, anything that was oppressing or anyone who was oppressed was set free in the year of Jubilee. In the same way, Jesus now says, instead of waiting every 50 years for this to happen, instead of waiting for Jubilee to come along every 50th year, now the time of the Lord's favor, that year has come now, and it's being fulfilled in your midst today. That now, instead of waiting for Jubilee, you can live in Jubilee. That's what Jesus was saying. God's timing has nothing to do with divine healing. Because God's timing is now. Jesus already did the work. If the work hadn't been finished, then we could all turn around and say, okay, you know, maybe, you know, it is God's timing. But the work is done. When Jesus Christ took those stripes on his back and he went to the cross and said, it is finished, it was finished. And yes, that includes sickness and disease. It is finished. Healing already happened. Jesus said this, or the Bible says, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, that what? He took our sickness and bore our illnesses. It is a done deal. It is a done deal. Already done. Healing has already been paid for. Healing's already been paid for. I want to show you something in the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Many have contested that God is not a healer because of this text of scripture. And I understand this morning is more of a teaching than it is a preaching. Because how many of you guys know the Bible says my people perish for a lack of knowledge? When we don't understand something from the Word of God, we cannot receive it in our lives adequately. So what I'm trying to do this morning is teach the Word of God to the point that faith gets pumped on the inside of you and you can receive a healing touch in your body. Many people have used this text. I've taught on healing for the last 3 years that I've been the youth pastor. It's not very long, but for the last 3 years, when I teach on healing, many times people have objected to me. They pull me aside after. Listen, Pastor Joey, you're a zealous young man. You just haven't been through a lot of life. Life hits and it happens and all that stuff. And, you know, and Paul's thorn in the flesh, brother, and all that stuff. You know, God didn't heal him. Let's see. Says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. So let's just stop there. Leave that up there. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger from Satan. I talked to my dad about this one time. I called him up. I was at Bible school and my Bible school professors told me that this meant that Paul was like direly sick and that God, you know, wasn't healing him or whatever. So I called my dad and my dad goes, Joe, that's what my dad calls me. He goes, Joe. I said, Joe. If I said Clifford the big red dog, who's Clifford? I said the big red dog. If I said a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger from Satan, what's the thorn in the flesh? And I went, a messenger from Satan. He goes, bingo. I could have saved myself a lot of money in that class just asking one simple question, asking what was the thorn? The thorn in the flesh that Paul was experiencing was not a sickness in his body, was not blindness, was not something wrong on the inside of him, but it was a demon that was literally set out to destroy his purpose. That is what the thorn in the flesh was. Well, Pastor Joey, God said he wouldn't take it away. Is that what was said? Three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. What did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. If you study this word grace in the context, you understand this is the divine empowerment of God. The divine empowerment of God. When God says, my grace is sufficient for you, he's saying, Paul, my divine empowerment is enough for you to be able to overcome this opposition of the devil. And so Paul says, when I am weak, I am strong. Why? Because God's power is manifested in me. When the enemy tries to attack me, the grace of God is enough. Hallelujah. The divine empowerment of God is enough for you this morning. Amen. Against any attack from the devil. So no, Paul's thorn is not a reason to believe that God's will is not to heal. God's grace is here for you this morning. His divine empowerment of you over the devil is here. Amen. Amen. See, religious people have the same problem that the Pharisees had. They have the same problem that the Pharisees and Sadducees had today. Many people, they get very upset when they hear divine healing taught biblically because it doesn't, you know, talk about all these personal experiences and stuff. And, you know, how come, you know, Debbie is sick and it's because Debbie started eating little Debbies and then she got big Debbie. Glad you got that one. But, you know, many people, they don't like it because they don't talk about personal experiences and stuff. And, you know, I know the Bible says this, but, you know, it's not really for us today. They have the same problem as the Pharisees did. And I'm pretty sure I gave you the wrong reference. So forgive me for that. But here's what Jesus said to the Sadducees. The Sadducees give them a really weird situation where they start talking about, like, you know, suppose a man marries this girl and then, you know, the girl's husband dies and then they get married to another person and they die and they do this seven more times. And it's just a very weird situation. And they say, who's going to be your husband in eternity? And it's just like, really? That's what you came up with to ask Jesus? You could have asked Jesus anything, and so that's what you asked him. And the reason why the Sadducees asked that is because they had a preconceived notion that there was no resurrection of the dead. that there was no resurrection of the dead. They had a preconceived notion that there was no resurrection and there was nothing supernatural. And Jesus responds to the religious leaders with this. He said, your mistake is you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Your mistake is you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. That same mistake is made in religious circles today. The mistake is they don't know the scriptures and they don't know the power of God. They don't know the power of God. What do I mean by they don't know the power of God? They have never seen the power of God in operation because they do not know the scriptures to see it taking effect in their life. They do not know the power of God. Let me tell you this. A man with a testimony will always outdo a man with a lot of stuff in their head. Here's what happened in the Bible. I feel in my spirit to say this. This is what happened in the Bible. There was a man who was born blind. And Jesus Christ, he heals him. And the religious leaders come over, and this is what religious people like to do. They pull him aside. Were you really blind? Were you really healed? I've had people do this in my services before. I pray for somebody and they come over and they're like, Pastor Joey, I don't really think they were actually sick in their body. I don't really think that they had pain. And so they try and like talk the miracle away because they don't want to believe that it actually happened and manifested and all that stuff. So that's what the religious leaders do. They pull the guy, come here. Let's get your parents and make sure that you were really blind. And so they call the parents in. So Jeffrey says that he was born blind. And they, you know, I could see them with like the real, like, you know, like nose in the air type of people. But we're not really certain about this. Was he really blind? And the parents, they get all scared because they don't want to, you know, rattle anybody. They're like, ask him. And he looks at them and he goes, sirs, all I know is I was blind. And now I see the simplicity of the gospel. A man with a testimony will always outwit and always outdo a man that thinks they have knowledge, but really they have none. Their mistake is they don't know the scriptures and they don't know the power of God. We need to know the scriptures and know the power of God. Know what the Bible says and really believe it for our lives to see it affect a change in our lives. Go to Luke chapter 7, verse 21. Luke chapter 7, verse 21. It says, at that time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and he restored sight to many who were blind. Then he told John's disciples, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. See, what happens is this. John the Baptist, his disciples come to Jesus and they start asking Jesus. They're like, hey, are you really the Messiah or should we be looking for somebody else? And you know how Jesus ensures them that he really is the Messiah? He says, the blind see, the deaf hear. What does he do? He talks about the healing miracles that take place. Why? Because he's saying that I really am the Messiah. And the way that you know that I am is by the miracles that I perform. It was in the very nature and DNA of Christ to come and to do the miraculous, to come and do those things that cannot be done by natural means. Amen. 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 Understand the payment. Understand God's will. My last point in worship team, you could begin to come up. Understand the methods. Understand the methods. What do I mean by this? Understand the methods. Understand the way by which somebody is healed. Understand how it happens. The Bible says this in John 14:14. Jesus said, yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Many people think that this text is referring to asking the Father for something. However, this is not so, because Jesus is speaking in a whole discourse here in John 14, John 15, John 16, and he's speaking. Later on in John 16, he says, go ahead and ask the Father for X, Y, and Z. He says, go and ask the Father there. However, here he says, yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. What does he mean? He says, use my name and I will do it. What is this? Jesus is saying, telling us about the authority that we can use, the authority of the name of Jesus, that we can execute his name, that we can release his name, and Jesus will do the thing that we put his name with. That if we use the name of Jesus, that the power of God will come and do a work that only he can do. The name of Jesus, the power of his name, the power of his name. Can I encourage you with something? You can do it. Many people think that just like ministers like me and Pastor Frank and Pastor Kayshawn and maybe the more spiritual people in the church, they can do it. But the reality is that you can see people healed. You can use the power in the name of Jesus. You can actually carry it out. It wasn't just reserved for Jesus, miracles. Healings wasn't just for Jesus. For Jesus said, greater works you will do. Greater works you will do. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they walk past a lame man and he's begging there for money. He's like, spare change? Anybody got some spare change? And they walk past and they say, sir, silver and gold, we have none. But what I do have is this. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Can I tell you something? You can meet the needs of people in an even more effective way than something tangible, financial, but you can actually go and affect the name of Jesus and watch their life begin to change. Somebody sick in their body, instead of giving them money for a surgery, you can lay hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. You can be healed in your body this morning. You can be healed in your body right here in this service. Healing can be done through the anointing of oil. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 14. It says, are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with the oil in the name of the Lord. And here's what the Bible says will happen. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. It says, will heal the sick. It is not a might, it is a will. Notice this, whenever the Bible speaks about healing, it uses definite terms. It doesn't use terms like it's a possibility that it could happen, but it says it will happen. The prayer of faith will heal the sick man. The anointing and oil can heal people in this place this morning. Why the anointing with oil? Oil is symbolic of the presence of God. When you anoint someone with oil, you're anointing them, showing the presence of God. The presence of God coming upon a person and healing their body. The anointing with oil is one of the ways that people can receive divine healing. The other thing to understand about divine healing is that divine healing can be progressive. Divine healing can be progressive. What do I mean by progressive? I don't mean like, you know, you pray for somebody and then they go get a surgery and then it takes, you know, a year for them to be healed. That's not progressive healing. Progressive healing is within that hour they were healed. Notice what happens in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 11. It says this. This is the leper speaking. They cried out and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. This was not an instantaneous miracle. However, it was pretty fast. It was as they went, they were healed. Jesus said, go and do this. And at the instruction of the name of Jesus, as they went, they were healed. As they went, they were healed. So what can happen sometimes, I've seen this happen. Somebody gets prayed for in a service. I've seen people in wheelchairs before. They get prayed for and they don't hop right out of the wheelchair. And everyone thinks, oh, God didn't want to do it. You know, it was a failure, whatever. But then the very next morning, all of a sudden they wake up and they just begin to walk. What happened? It was a progressive healing that took place. Progressive healing is not about doctors. Progressive healing. I'm going to say this. Doctors, praise God for doctors. Amen. Like, they have wisdom, all that stuff. Go get your surgery, whatever. Healing is supernatural, not natural. If a doctor did it, it's not to be ascribed to Jesus. In the sense that, you know, Jesus really just did a miracle in my body. The doctor, praise God, God gave them the wisdom to be able to do it. Amen. We could say, you know, praise God for wisdom. But that's not healing. Healing is a supernatural act of God. That's what healing is. Biblically, that's what healing is. I actually can't find a text in the Bible to you to point that the word healing is used for a doctor doing surgery. Healing is a supernatural means that you can receive today. And hey, listen, if you want to go get a surgery from a doctor, I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying that healing is supernatural, not natural. Healing is something that is done that by the means that men cannot do it. It is done supernaturally by God. So what needs to be done this morning? What needs to be done? Very simple. There needs to be a release of faith in this place. There needs to be a release of faith that takes place in this place this morning, where we say, God, I've heard your words spoken today. God, I've heard that you are a healer. Maybe even some of you in this place, if you're being honest with yourself, as you were hearing me preach, it challenged some ideas that you had. And you heard it and you were like, wow, I didn't realize that the Bible really says this. Today you can release your faith and receive your miracle in your body. I'm going to read you this scripture and then I'm going to close. I want you to know this. As your faith is, it'll be done unto you today. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Thank you. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened. Or in other words, as your faith is, so be it done unto you is another translation of that. Somebody came up to me and said, Pastor Joey, can you pray for me? I'm on crutches. And I said, what would you like me to pray for? And they said, I would like you to pray that I'm off my crutches in less than 4 weeks because the doctor said it's supposed to take 6. And I said, that's what you want me to pray for? And they said, yes. That's where their faith was at. So I laid hands on him and I said, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that he will be off his crutches in less than 4 weeks. And guess what? He was off his crutches in 3. Why? As his faith was, it was unto him. Some people, they come down to an altar and they don't want to believe for something instantaneously, although they can. You can set your faith for that. And so if somebody says to me, you know, even if someone says to me, Pastor Joey, I don't want to pray that God will do it right now, but I just want to pray that my surgery goes well. That's what I'm going to pray for. Because as your faith is, so be it unto you. But can I encourage you with this last scripture? The Bible says, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. You don't have to settle for second best this morning. You don't have to settle for sickness in your body this morning. You don't have to settle for surgery. You don't have to settle for cancer. You don't have to settle for the heart disease that's been in your family. You don't have to settle for anything this morning, because everything is possible to him that believes. Everything is possible this morning. Welcome to a realm of endless possibilities this morning. People like to limit God, but there is no limit. Anything is possible if you would choose to believe this morning. Amen. Amen. I want to have the opportunity to lay hands on some people this morning and anoint them with oil and believe God. I did this on Friday. And I'll tell you this, it's very easy with a group of students. You just tell them the Bible and they just believe it. Amen. That's amazing. That childlike faith. When you're speaking to a group of adults, many times personal experience begins to come in and people begin to get bound by their personal experience, instead of just letting the Bible say what it says and believing it. I spoke to a group of students, laid hands on them, and I said, come back to me. Come back to me when you notice that God has done the work. I had 3 students come back to me so far. I know more will come too. One of them said, Pastor Joey, I had an issue in my thigh from the time that I was born, where my thigh had this separation. The bone was not supposed to be the way it was. They were supposed to be together, but there was this big separation between the two. And whenever I run or whenever I walk, I'm in so much pain because of it. But after we prayed and we believed God, I went and I played in the student teacher volleyball game this afternoon. And I ran and I jumped and I walked and I didn't have any pain in my body anymore. So I know that God has healed my body in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. That same power is available to you this morning. Get your faith up to receive something right now. Get your faith on it. I dare you to raise your hands right now and say this. Say, thank you, Jesus, that today is my day of healing in my body. Thank you that you already did the work. It is finished. Hallelujah. I had a man come up to me, and I promise you this is the last thing I'll say before I pray for you, because we got to get out of here for next service. I had a man say to me, I preached on healing, and he came down to the altar, and he came down, he had his head down. And I said, sir, what's wrong? What can I pray for you for? He goes, today's not my day. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, today's not my day. I'm not going to be healed today. And I said, sir, I'm really sorry, but there's not much I can do with that. Because see, the ministry of Jesus was trying to get people to believe God. He wasn't trying to get God to do something. He was trying to get people to believe God. So I said, sir, I said, I encourage you to get your faith up. Why don't you just believe with me? No, sir, I cannot believe with you. I said, okay, sir. Well, God bless you. I'm just going to pray just that God begins to work on your heart. I said, you know, I prayed God begin to work on his heart, and I walked away. He didn't receive his miracle that day, but guess what? There were like 15 other people at the altar that did. What made them different? Faith. God responds to faith. If you're here in this place this morning and you need a healing touch in your body, and you know, man, I've been dealing with this thing for a while. Or man, this, even if it's something as simple as you injured your leg recently and you're believing God to be able to return back to activities, there is nothing too small that God cannot take care of. If you are sick in your body today and you need a healing touch from God, I want to ask you to get up out of your seat and join me down here at this altar right now. I want to lay hands on you. Amen. Amen.